Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazam Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mikendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Mindard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Darren Kirsch, T. Hamill, Jared Gibbs, Braden Arnold, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by...
Lance Laster.
Now, Lance is on this episode. Welcome back, Lance, by the way.
Thank you.
Lance was on last week. He's back again.
Thank you.
Lance is on this episode because this is an episode which has arguably the greatest moment in Smallville history in it.
Yeah.
And we remember watching it live together in our dorm room.
Yes.
And now we're here to talk about it with y'all.
Indeed.
So we're going to hopefully recapture the fun and experience we had watching this episode for the first time in 2005 in college with y'all here. So this really is, season five is off to a strong start.
It's interesting because this is like still the show that we recognize in a lot of ways, in a lot of respects, but true. It's also a very different show already.
Evolving.
In these first three episodes. So it's neat to see the metamorphosis that is going on with the show.
The metamorphosis, yes. The extinction that's going on with the show. You know, we just got to get out of the way. This episode's main guest star, Johnny Lewis. Now, this actor, a few years after this episode, came to a very tragic end on his own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you just give us a brief summary of what happened with this guy, Lance, before we get into it. We'll get the somber stuff out of the way.
Okay.
And then we'll address the episode proper. Now, it would feel almost inappropriate to mix this in to the normal episode discussion.
Fair.
So I just want to take care of it in the pregame here, and then we'll get into it. Because it's a, I dare to call it a piece of trivia. It's just a dark fact.
Yeah.
And the efforts of full disclosure about everything that goes on Smallville, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what happened to Johnny Lucas.
Okay, so he killed his landlady and neighbor.
His 81-year-old landlady.
81-year-old landlord, and then himself.
By jumping off the roof?
Well, that's what he did afterwards.
Right. But it seemed to be an accident.
Seemed
right?
that way, yeah.
He strangled
the landlady, and she died from that and blunt force trauma to the head.
Yeah, I mean, damn. Right.
Yeah, he had the year before. So this was 2012. The year before, he was in a motorcycle accident and suffered some head trauma that might have had to do with some of his more violent behavior afterwards. That's what was reported. And he spent some time in a rehab facility. Also, prior to this, you know, there's, I guess, explanations for it.
I guess,
but like,
it's similar to like football players with CTE.
Yeah.
You know? You get the concussions to your head and messes with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been studies of... I mean, there's a famous story about a guy in, like, the 1800s who got, like a spike through his head and his brain.
Yeah.
Totally changed his behavior, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, we don't know any of the science about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fact is, the guy seemed to have a level head on his shoulders, had an accident, then did some horrible things. So, ultimately, you're responsible for your own actions in spite of what happens to you.
Yeah.
So just damn, right? I mean, like, I don't know what else to say
don't
about
either.
That. So,
but also, like, you know, and we'll get into it when we get into the episode, but like the character is also eerily similar,
right? I mean, like, see, I didn't, that's why I was like, let's tear it now, but you're right. There is a lot of extremism,
yes,
to this character, and then obviously he just cold-blooded murders people,
correct?
So that is eerie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, And you never know where the line is to talk about this stuff, like the real world stuff and then obviously the in-story stuff. But yeah, so now that that uncomfortable business has been discussed, let's talk about the deleted scenes of this episode. There are three deleted scenes, and I think one of them's good. The other two are just needless.
Yes.
So I see why they deleted them, because you lose nothing. One of them is like the Kins and Lana and Dr. Harden, Rekha Sharma, in the hospital talking about, oh, Clark's been shot. Like, oh, he's been shot, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's repetitive information. You know, we've already seen that. It doesn't add anything to it. The second scene, though, is great. And it's Lex comes in and he mentions his specialist from Metropolis.
Yep.
It's a deleted scene, so he can't count it on the tally board.
Dang.
But it's just, of course he mentions it, because he's telling Dr. Harden, like, oh, we've been through a lot together, and I've access to dozens of specialists in Metropolis. I need his medical records.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little unclear, like, well, she's not just going to give them to him. But they walk off together.
Seems like she was.
But then in the episode itself, Lana's the one that has them.
Yeah, but after they kind of walk away, peering from the background
is Lana.
Yeah, she's watching.
She heard that. Yeah. So I think that they covered up some of that with some ADR in that scene when they deleted, like in the final scene, the final episode, they deleted this one. Like, here's Clark's medical records. I heard you asking about them at the hospital.
Yeah. Right?
So I don't know, like, she would have given his doctor's Clark stuff, but not Lex himself. So I don't know. But, you know, as you find out in the episode later on, that he's just a perfectly normal guy.
Yeah.
So, again, Clark loses his powers at the most convenient times.
That's like, correct.
Bleach, he lost his powers, and Clark, you know, when Lex is really starting to suspect that he's indestructible.
Yes.
Why don't we go out in the parking lot? You can hit me with your car. Like, again, Tom Welling, great with comedy.
Uh-huh.
So, the third deleted scene is Clark having crashed back to Earth.
Yeah.
You see, like, a smoke, because he was holding on to, like, the Apollo capsule of the nuclear missile, and it crashed in a corner. Why would it crash back in Smallville?
I don't know.
Right? So best to just ignore that.
Yeah.
So it crashed back in Smallville, and then you see that he's alive.
Yeah.
Way more effective with the Kins on the phone, and then we see him,
and then we see him walk
come
in
through the light, right? It's
yes.
very epic. So so those are your three deleted scenes. I can see why they deleted them all, really, but it would have been nice to have that Lex moment in there.
I agree.
Because he doesn't in the episode at all for the middle of it. So anyway, those are your three deleted scenes. So let's get into it. Hidden.
When this body was activated by the crystal, it became an oracle of Kryptonian knowledge. A vessel for me to inhabit if ever you should need me. That time was now.
Am I dead?
Your mortal journey is over, yes. But your imminent destiny is too important to be sacrificed. You will return with all your natural gifts. Unfortunately, this rectification does not come without a price. The life of someone close to you will be exchanged for yours.
I would never ask for that.
You already did when you decided to relinquish your powers and disobey me. It was your choice.
Then just don't bring me back.
It's too late. For everything in nature, there is a balance. The life force that has been returned to you will soon be taken from someone you love. You're about to face your darkest hour, my son. But remember, the lessons that we learn from pain are the ones that make us the strongest.
Hit it. Is the third episode of Smallville's fifth season. It aired on October 13th, 2005. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Whitney Ransom. So this episode starts out, where do we start out, Lance?
We are in what we come to find out is a missile silo, and we have our new character, Gabriel.
Our Trevor. The tech guy from the torch. Has been like, 'cause we all remember the tech guy from the torch. How many hours did he spend with Chloe solving her tech problems?
You know, like, countless.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well have added him to the main cast at this point.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't.
The episode starts out, you pull out of a barrel of a gun.
Yeah.
All right? And you're like, damn, right?
Yeah.
This guy, right, he is, apparently we learn that the government put several missile silos, 15, if I'm not mistaken, 14, mm-hmm. 15?
Yeah.
In the Smallville area during the Cold War, mm-hmm. or, you know, before, but Jonathan Kent assumes they shut them down in the Cold War.
Of course he does.
But the fact that they're nuclear vessels.
Nuclear vessels?
You know what the nuclear vessels are. You didn't connect me to the nuclear vessels. In Smallville, is a rather ridiculous concept. And this guy, you know, he has shot one of, because, you know, there's always two people on guard for this. You have the two turnkey mm-hmm. system, as established in Superman 3. Both keys at the same time? This scene would have a lot more. I would have been able to swallow the scene a lot more if he was wearing a big foam cowboy hat.
I know, right?
Richard Pryor didn't kill anybody when he broke into that computer company in Smallville. Remember that scene?
That's right.
In Smallville.
That's right.
So, anyway, if you guys know what we're talking about, go watch Superman 3. You'll have a good time. So it's the two turnkey system to keep stuff like this from happening,
because mm-hmm.
you assume, okay, at least if one guy gets killed, the other guy's not going to just, for sure, whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this guy, so there's two guys, one of them gets shot, and Gabriel here threatens the other one, like he's going to shoot him if you don't turn this key with me. Not a good look for the armed forces, to be honest, when the guy's
Correct.
Like, oh, don't shoot me, I'll turn over this nuclear missile to you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Also, like, they're military personnel. They should have been able to subdue this high school, recently high school
guy.
Graduate, restrain him, and keep him from doing whatever he did.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess because they're, you know, abandoned. This might be the only one left, I guess, in missile.
It's true.
Didn't shut down. There's only two guys on it, right? It's probably just like the outpost that nobody really gives a second thought to.
Like the Homer Simpson treatment. It's like, this dude shouldn't have this job, but it's not really all that crucial.
Well, clearly they shouldn't, because this guy just gave over a nuclear missile.
He sure did.
This stupid kid. So they turn both the keys. They give him access to, you know, the launching mechanisms and whatnot. And he says, sorry, and he shoots them both.
Correct.
And then I realized, man, season 5 is very violent.
Yes, it is.
Like, even, you know, the first two episodes, you get people being choked, you get blood everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, you get people crawling around. So, yeah, I mean, hey, it's more shades of season 3, which is a nice gear shift from where we were in season 4.
It's very true.
And then who does he call? But Chloe.
He calls Chloe.
Chloe has packed up her car to go to Met You. By the way, this is 6:30 in the morning, mind you.
That's correct.
It was pretty bright outside for 6:30.
Very bright.
This episode takes place, what, over the course of an hour?
2 hours. 2 hours.
2 hour countdown. You sure? I think it was 1 hour.
I could be mistaken.
Literally just watched the episode.
It's
cannot
true.
Remember.
Yeah.
Literally watched it not 10 minutes ago to refinish. We cannot remember if it was an hour or 2 hours. I think it's 1 hour, because when Clark dies, like, time ended up 7:19 or something, right? So
okay.
It's like, oh, they're keeping the hour timetable.
Okay.
So I want to say it was a 1 hour countdown. You at home just keep yelling at your at your podcast.
Sorry.
You stupid people.
Yeah, we know.
So anyway, calls Chloe because he wants her to tell his story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, I mean, oh, man. Okay. This character, right?
Yes.
He is like, I don't know, the epitome of what you would see today, like in a school shooter or something.
Correct.
Right? He is a guy who feels like he's on a crusade, and he wants people to tell his story, and he's going to kill a bunch of people about it.
Correct.
So, a really despicable character. And, I mean, they do a good job showing how despicable he is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which is better than what tends to happen most of the time when we have these types of things in this country
like
sometimes.
Like, you don't get the whole, like, he's just misunderstood. You know? You're like, no, this guy's just whacked up and...
Correct.
And there's no redeeming qualities to this person.
Correct.
Yeah, so he wants Chloe to, like, you know, tell his story or whatever. So that's why he's calling her. And that's when you find out this exposition about how many hours did I spend with you with the torch? And I'm like, what? Like, she answers the phone. She's like, oh, hey, Gabriel.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking... This guy...
It's total Trevor.
We still getting Trevor's popping up.
Yeah.
Right? We're in college now. Trevor's are still popping up.
Apparently.
We're done with these people.
And also, like, okay, so it's 6:30 in the morning, and she's packing up to go to college.
I mean, she must have got up, like, at 4.
Yeah.
Because her makeup is done. She's in a nice outfit. Her car is packed to the gills with ridiculous
with all
things.
This, it's like, why would you take any of this to college?
There's
like,
a sombrero.
Why is a sombrero there? That's the biggest question. Like,
the bird cage is also interesting. Like, it's like they just emptied out the prop room into her car.
Correct.
It looks like. And the, what, is she going to drive with the roof down? 3 hours to Metropolis?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. So she's moving into MetU. So at least someone in this show is going to college.
That's right.
At least starts. And that's where we leave things in the first half, because then we get the whole countdown starts, and at least they didn't do the thing from Commencement where it was like the boom, boom.
Oh, the
boom,
24 stuff?
Boom, complete 24 ripoff. Like, why is there a count? Like, Commencement, it's like, I understand the point that you don't need this one. It actually would have been more appropriate, right? Because there literally is a countdown with numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And Commencement is just like, you know, countdown to Doomsday as the season 4 DVDs let us know.
Yep.
So anyway, so then we cut to the opening credits, and we come back, and where are we, Lance?
We are in Clark's room.
Clark's room. Rarely seen Clark's room.
Haven't seen it since...
Alicia was there.
Another woman was in there.
We don't talk about her, though, because Lana's, as we established last week, Lana's the only girl he's ever really loved.
Oh, and as we find out later, he's the only one she's ever loved.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But they're waking up, and, you know, they obviously spend the night together, and
it's 6:30. It's like, it's funny. You were talking about how, like, you wanted to make a Groundhog Day video.
Oh, yeah. I did. So Lance and I, you know, so when we get a chance and we're on the podcast together, we kind of try to watch the episodes together and then immediately do the podcast. So we don't forget any key details, like if the countdown
like
was
the countdown
2 hours.
Yeah.
But no, you start. I am Groundhog Day is one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay. And this episode starts with the clock chopping down. Like, I totally want to make some kind of fan trailer or something with this. Smallville and Groundhog Day. It's great because so many of the same things happen in Smallville. Yes. You could just do the whole, like, you know, Lex breaks the thing on him. Oh, he wakes up. Lana gets killed by the truck. Oh, he wakes up. You know?
With this episode in particular, you definitely
because he wakes, because it's like, he wakes up, you play the Sonny and Cher song, and then they're just staring at each other all nice. You know, I don't know. Like, there's something to be done there.
There is.
I'm going to, you know, get my creative juices flowing on that and stay tuned. But anyway, yeah, because they do focus, for some reason, they focus on the alarm clock.
They
do. Here's the deal, right? Clark and Lana, they're together now.
Correct.
And they are pretty adorable together. I must say, in these last two episodes, haven't they been?
Yeah, shocking.
Because she's like, oh, what's going to happen? We're not going to fall asleep. I'm going to get up. Like, they're giving each other a hard time. It's really cute to see them together.
It is.
And Kristen Kirk is getting some great stuff to do this season, which is so
refreshing.
Needed after last year. She's had more scenes in these three episodes with Clark than I think she did in all of season 4.
I agree.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Or at least positive scenes together.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Because her and Clark shared like two scenes together the first half of season 4, and they were both like mad at each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's very refreshing.
Yes.
As we move forward, they're trying to basically see if they could beat his parents, and get her out of there without being seen or noticed. Right?
And she's wearing a shirt, which is, you know, whenever a woman wears a man's like oversized shirt,
it's an A+.
Best thing ever. But anyway, continue.
And of course, they're trying to sneak out, and of course, they're making a lot of noise. And you got the happy clarinet music going on
in
the background.
So you knew something silly was like, doo, 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 doo,
yeah, it's and then of course they walk, you know, past the kitchen, the front room, and
well, it's
you know,
a false alarm, right? Because
it is. Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, my dad's not gonna be up for like 50 more minutes, so we're okay. So they go downstairs and they knock over like a picture and they stop and they're like, okay, we made it.
Yep.
And then they get to the kitchen and John's like, hey, Clark.
Yep. And he's like, oh, and then he's just like frozen. And then Martha kind of wants to laugh, but like knows that Jonathan's not having it. So she's trying to like hold back. It's very funny watching the two of those, their reactions.
Well, because it's clear what's happened here, because again, Lana is wearing his flannel shirt.
Correct.
And nothing else.
Yes.
And nothing else. And Clark, he steps up. He's like, okay, I can explain. And Martha's like, well, we're not mad. Jonathan is clearly furious.
Yes.
And again, this is so in character of them. And I love the kids. And this is nice stuff that, you know, obviously we lose after this season.
Yeah.
I much enjoy this dynamic between all these characters than all the normal dynamic between all. Because like, how many times is there a scene between these four characters?
Not many.
Yeah, exactly. So...
But yeah, it's just funny. Like, and then
Lana
like,
steps
like,
up.
She tries to step up, and like he's just
we
like,
made this choice together, and
he's just not having it. He's like, I respect that position, but I'd like to talk to my son. And then she just kind of like steps back
and
slowly
runs
and runs away. It's just like the Lion King when Zazu's like, and Simba, good luck.
But no, John's like, come on, sit down. Like, yep. There's rules in this house. And Clark's like, well, you mean like you did it? It is funny because we talked in depth about like an unsafe, right?
Yeah.
Where they're like, they talk about sex without talking about it. And they do the same thing here.
They do.
And Martha's like, well, at least tell me you were safe.
Yes.
It's just like,
And so now, like, this is where we have to take a little bit of a pause and ask a couple of questions.
All right, let's ask.
So she asks, at least she's like, well, at least were you safe? And Clark, like, says yes. So was the night before the first time? Because...
No. I see the confusion is. Because it's like, this episode seems to think it picks up right after the last one.
Yes.
But it clearly doesn't because they're in a different location.
Yeah.
And the Kent house is rebuilt as opposed to last. So that shows the progression of time.
Okay.
So anyway, that is your Clark Kent sex life timetable, if anyone was wondering on the show. Because clearly Lance was over here wondering.
I'm not the only one. Let's be real.
Chloe was wondering.
Oh, yes, she was. Yes, she was.
She walks in on this, you know,
awkwardness
family moment between the Kents and Clark. And again, Martha and Jonathan, 100% in character here.
Yes.
So, love it.
Yeah.
Then Chloe comes in. She's like, hey, guys, this is Alana running out. What would she be doing at 6:30? Oh. And as she says at the end of this episode, she's a big girl, so she handles it pretty well.
Yeah.
She comes to tell him that she got a call from Gabriel, you know, and her concerns.
Yeah. About the tech guy from the torch?
Yeah. Oh. Is this where we find out he's the tech guy?
Yeah.
Again, literally just stopped watching the episode. Oh, that attention to detail. So Jonathan hearing this says, oh, I'm going to go talk to the sheriff about it. Because he's still like keeping his hand on Clark. I'm not done with you. Like he gives him like a very intense look before he leaves. You know? And
then Chloe just kind of awkwardly laughs about it. It's hilarious.
She's like, I got no skin in this game.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Lana going home and she's still in her flannel shirt.
Yeah, and she's like in a good mood.
The greatest mood, you know. Lex is in her apartment.
Sorry, I was just looking over at your sketches.
Yeah, because she has been drawing. Because remember, guys, she went to that Paris School of Art. So, continuity! she's been drawing the spaceship and the discount Ursa and Non from Arrival, you know. And he always does this.
Yeah.
Remember in Visitor? He breaks into Cyrus's place and like, look at this, you know, spaceship drawing. So, the show taking things they've already done and redoing them in interesting ways. So, I applaud the recombination of old ideas here.
Yeah.
But... like, what a violation of privacy. You know, Lex does this a lot.
Yeah.
And he does own the place, but that doesn't give him the right to just walk in. I don't know. Is she paying rent?
Good question. I don't know.
I bet he's going to start charging her rent, though, now that she's dating Clark.
Yes.
But I love how he's like, Lana, look, I knocked. I didn't hear an answer. I was concerned. Like, you're so full.
Yeah. It's like nobody's believing this anymore.
Yes.
So you could just stop with all that stuff. But it's just funny how that's what's going on here.
Well, I like how strong Lana is in these episodes.
Yes.
Because she has some great scenes with Lex. You know, this episode especially has a couple great scenes with Lex. You know, just kind of telling him off, you know. I guess this is his way to like win. He would never have told her about the spaceship if she wasn't dating Clark and he needed to, quote unquote, win her back, you know. Because he's like, well, you know, I checked out that crater that you told me about. Whatever was there wasn't a meteor. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, piquing her interest.
Now, of course, you know, well... he's like, have you told anyone else about this? Like, Clark? She's like, no. When you tell people about spaceships and people look at you like you're crazy, like, well, I don't think you're crazy. I'm like, shut up, Lex.
He's like, that's a desperate man, right?
Yeah.
Right
there. I mean, come on, bro.
It's like.
But see, here's the deal. They're handling it well in these first three episodes.
Okay.
Like, you're like, what are his intentions? It's like more of like a control thing. You know, like season six does it poorly.
And yes.
Even, we'll get to the end of this season.
Okay.
It's a mixed bag. Like, I don't like Lexana, right? But what they're doing here isn't like straight up Lexana. It's all this like under the surface stuff, which is like uncomfortable, but it's meant to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it works for me here, you know? Even though he's clearly like trying to break this stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at the end of this episode, which is another great scene between them.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves, and then we find out. Well, of course, we know he has a spaceship, right?
Yes.
But he could have just told her he has a spaceship.
Correct.
Which he eventually does in season five as he continues to try and win Lana over it. But he goes to his scientists at Luther Corp and they can't cut it open. And like, we used every chemical compound on this earth. He's like, well, that implies this isn't from this earth, doesn't it? And
every question has an answer, doctor.
He starts, he gets all like metaphysical.
Yeah.
With these poor guys are going to get fired because they can't open the spaceship.
Correct.
It's interesting because there's a shot of the spaceship and you see like the Zod symbol underneath it.
It's a Z.
And I was like, that wasn't there before. Like I'm thinking that to myself. It looks like, what's that? I had noticed that before. And the scientist is like, it's because it wasn't there before.
Uh-oh.
But then we see that in the time between the last two episodes, because we saw Lionel and, you know, Bellary last week. But we see that he is He's gone full Dr. Walden.
Yes.
Right? The day is coming.
Uh-huh.
And he's
what do these symbols mean?
He's like, Lex is being like hardcore with his dad, slamming him against the wall.
He's like being like Batman interrogating like people at Arkham, like throwing them around.
But in Lex's defense, it is a padded cell.
Very true.
But the Zod symbol is everywhere. And I'm like, how is he? See, Dr. Walden had the energy from his hands. That's how he burned all the stuff into the wall. Yeah. How is Lionel doing this? He didn't have a corkscrew here.
I guess somebody gave him a pencil.
I don't know why we latched on to this line. This is another. There's so many just moments in this episode, early season five, that we just latched on to. Or you know, college kids, right? Having a good time watching Smallville.
Not but, doing our homework.
Yeah. So he's like, why the symbol's on the ship? Like, Lex is like telling him that. And, you know, he starts to walk away from Lionel. Lionel's up against the wall. And he's like, you'll never open it. Only he can open it. And I don't know why we thought only he can open it was so funny.
I don't know either.
But now we continue to say that to this day.
We continue to quote that.
If it's like you have to open, only he can open it.
Uh-huh.
I can't get it open. Only he
like
can open
every,
it.
Like every, literally
every
time.
Every opportunity. So, little, it's little things. On Smallville. But who is he referring to? Zod or Brainiac?
I think Zod.
He's opened the portal for Zod.
I think it's Zod.
James, one of James Marsters' worst line readings on the show. His last
his
line.
Last line, yeah.
For several seasons. But I think he's referring to Brainiac, right? Because Brainiac came out of the ship. Kind of is the ship.
Yeah, it kind of is the ship.
I think they actually say that. I think they actually say that. Fine is the ship.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess it must be Zod then.
I think it's Zod.
You know, here's the deal, guys. They didn't know.
They really
you
didn't.
Think these guys knew in early season five? I don't think so. But then, Jonathan catches up with the military, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And tries to, you know, ask Sheriff Adams what's going on. She's like, oh, it's just a routine drill. It's like, no, it's not. Like, don't lie.
With the National Guard.
Like, as they're driving through through the field. And this is where we see Jonathan talk about the silos and how like they were there, they established them in the Cold War. Gives us that little bit of exposition, but you know the National Guard and the police like enter one of the silos thinking that they have Gabriel, and it's empty.
It's very well edited together. It's one of those classic, like, you know, if you've seen like The Equalizer with Denzel Washington or something, right? It's like you have a character in a spot,
mm-hmm.
and you see the people who are going to get him. And as the viewer, you think they're in the same location.
Correct.
But then it's revealed that they're not.
Yeah.
And I think that was very effective.
Yeah, it's Ocean's 11.
Yeah. Spoilers. That's in-universe. I'm talking about, like, outside universe, right? But anyway, yeah, it's empty. And they're like, oh, we're never going to catch them all the time, right?
Yeah.
So Clark and Chloe are on the case now, right?
Absolutely.
And they've gone to Gabriel's house.
Yeah.
And turns out his dad is a colonel. Lots of military people in Smallville, by the way. Remember Tina Greer killed Van's dad, who worked for the military and reported Whitney. Whitney being dead because Whitney was there and Whitney's
That's
dad
correct.
Was in the military. And then this guy's a small town USA, right?
Yeah.
Full of patriots and veterans. And Clark's still mortal at this point.
Correct.
To borrow a episode title from last week.
Hmm.
And he goes up to the door and it's locked. And it's funny. He's like, and he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Chloe pulls out a credit card. And opens it in like 5 seconds. It's like, oh, for those of us not of the superpower persuasion.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
And have you ever tried to open a door with a credit card?
No.
It is so hard.
Why would you ask if I've done that? And also it's funny that like I have not and you seem to have experience with it.
Well, because I accidentally have locked things behind doors. Only interior. You know like in a house where there's like a door
mm-hmm.
and it has like the lock on the back and it closes and there's supposed to be like a little tool.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the door frame,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed to, you know, if you lock yourself out of a room, you can use that. Well, this happened to me, and I didn't have the tool. So, tried with a card, many cards. it's hard. So you really haven't done it, though?
That's correct.
All right, well, all I'm saying is it's harder than it looks, okay? She does it in, like, 5 seconds flat. So they get in there, and they're looking around, and... I was amused by the set decoration because, oh, well, this guy's in the military, so clearly he has a model of Air Force One
mm-hmm.
and an American flag on a stand.
Correct.
Just in your living room because this man is a patriot.
That's like, correct. Then don't you forget it.
The set decorator probably had, like, not a lot of time to put this together. So
anyway,
they find another room, and it puts Chloe's wall of weird to shame.
Wall of weird times 100.
As she says, right? And they go in there, and it's, yeah, because it's plastered all over the walls. There's, like, you know, the strings, yarns, and articles hanging from it, right? And she, I love this. She's like, why would someone be this interested in meteor freaks? And Clark just gives her this serious side eye. She's like, oh, come on. Yep. Like, journalistic interest is different. So it's really exactly the same thing, though.
Yes, it is. It's funny that he gives it that look. It's like, really? Like, are you serious?
Well, I love the interplay between them, these two episodes, last week and this week,
yeah,
where Clark is human. Mm-hmm. Right. And Tom Welling, I always say, he does a great job as a villain. He does a great job with comedy.
Yes, he does.
So, you know, again, his skill set is not for Superman. It's for this other thing. But be that as it may, they have a good interchange here. But then it quickly gets dark because she's like, oh, man, why didn't his dad try to stop him? Right.
Yeah.
And because they find these codes, you know, the nuclear launch codes or mission reports, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Mission report. 1991.
Mission report.
Hail Hydra.
Shout to you, Robert Redford.
So he shot his dad.
Yeah.
Bled out, dead on the floor. It's like, ooh, it's got dark. Mm-hmm. Clark and Chloe, they find out that they went to a missile silo and it's empty. And I think how they like radio. I forgot how they, again, literally just watched the episode. This is the problem. When it's a tool, it's just like, it's not me. Like, usually I'm sitting here, I'm taking meticulous notes. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I got to talk to somebody. I got to be on my A game here. You know, I'm just you and me. I'm like, yeah, whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's all good.
But Clark and Chloe, they find out that they checked the missile silo and it was empty.
Yeah.
And they have like, and yeah, I think it is 1 hour because like, how are they going to check one in like 30 minutes?
All this time, right? Yeah.
Chloe says to Clark, like, well, you certainly can. I know you're thinking that, but now that you're not superpowered. And she's always the voice of reason for Clark, right? Yes. Even in season 4, it's like, whoa, you have a great destiny. And I was like, well, if you have superpowers, you could fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him, hey, you can't do it. I mean, I don't, you know. And Clark has a good idea here.
Yes, right? He does. He
mind realizes, over muscle, Clark.
Yes, he realizes that Chloe is the person that can locate him because she's the key. But because he contacted her, so he trusts her. He realizes that he trusts her and that like they can use that trust to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. That's what Clark Kent does best, taking people's trust, turning it against them. So, no, it is really smart, though, because he called Chloe to tell her to get out of town, right? So now she calls him saying, oh, hey. It's just a really good job. It's like, I was on the road, I was in a hurry.
And there was a dog?
A dog, and I overcompensated, and I swerved into a ditch. And
Chloe, calm down. I'll be right there.
This guy. Whoppa! So, and then as she's on the phone, like, you know, making up this story for Gabriel, yeah, right? You see Clark like positioning the car kind of in the ditch, making it look like she ran into it. It's funny.
And the funny thing is, like, all of her stuff that she was going to move is still in the car. Yeah.
You got to like scatter that on the road. Yeah, or I'm going to sell this, right?
It's hilarious.
So she makes the call. He's like looking at the clock. He's like, I'll be right there.
Yep.
Again, the flip phones are fun to see as well.
Yes.
We've come a long way in this short time, right? Not that long ago, the show was on the air. So he comes out to get her on a motorcycle, which is like, what the hell, right? It's random, right? Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, thanks for coming. And then Clark just waits no time.
Yeah.
He comes out, he's like, Gabriel, what style did you use to set the signal?
He's so obvious.
It's like, dude, you don't have any powers, you know? And it's just amazing. And I understand that's why they make the story this way. Like, as soon as Superman gets rid of his powers, horrible things happen immediately.
Correct.
And if he had his powers, he would have solved them in 5 seconds.
Yes.
But because he doesn't, but this creates some great episodes, like these last two episodes. Because it's like literally, like last week's episode, yes, he'd been normal for a few weeks, right?
Correct.
But then it's like, your whole family's been taken hostage and you have to break into somewhere and steal something.
Yes.
You know? So this time, you know, he's just walking up this guy like, that's not the answer, you know? You know, being Mr. Superman here. And he's like, yes, it is, Clark. And he just pulls out a gun and straight up shoots Clark. Doesn't even try to reason with him.
No.
So this guy is single-minded and methodical and cold-blooded.
Correct.
Shoots Clark, you know, once, like, through the lung. Clark, you know, just passes out, does his, you know, Superman crucifix pose on the ground as Superman are prone to do.
Yes.
Right? And Chloe just kind of freaks, like, oh, my God, Clark! Clark! Although, it's like, how did he get her on the motorcycle?
That's a good question.
Like, I understand, like, if it was a car, maybe he could throw her in the trunk or something, but a motorcycle, like, I guess she just went with the flow? Like, I don't know.
Because next time we see her, she's, like, restrained.
Yeah. He just is on there on the road, and it's really effective, too, because it starts kind of tight. It's a slow pan out, and he's just on the concrete, and you see the blood spreading out underneath him. Like, whoa, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
How is he end up at the hospital?
I don't know.
Because
I guess somebody sees a boy in the middle of the road who has a bullet hole in him.
Perhaps.
I think that's the only way.
But
he didn't have a cell phone. Chloe didn't call it in. We know Gabe sure as hell didn't call it in.
All right. Well, we have a post-mortem hospital visit.
Yes, we do.
So Mr. Clark Kent himself, Smallville General, and he's being carted into the Kents are there. Like, again, like, I don't know how these people find out this information. Lana is there, right?
And more importantly, my girl is there.
Rekha Sharma is there.
That's right.
Commander Landry, Star Trek Discovery.
That's right.
But I know her best from Battlestar Galactica. There we go. But which they're rebooting now, which is like, why?
I don't know.
And people are like, man, people got mad about the first reboot and they loved it. I'm like, yes, correct. But the first reboot was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It just ended less than 10 years ago. And we got to reboot it again. Anyway, always great to see her. A recurring character. She's just one of those characters in the background that she's in one or two episodes every season until season 6, actually. And then her final episode is that season. Can you tell me what her character name is, Lance?
No.
Well, her name is Dr. Harden.
Okay.
According to Smallville, the official companion season 5 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. Because I don't believe they ever say her name on screen.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's nice to see. It just, those, again, I always say it, but seeing those characters in the background creates a little bit of continuity. You know, just like Sheriff Adams. You know, I've really come to love Sheriff Adams at this point.
Yeah, man.
She was annoying as hell when she showed up. Mm-hmm. All right? Did not like her. But like last episode where she's like, oh, okay, da, 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 da. And then she like comes out. She's like completely like on it.
Yes.
You know, she's like, we got a 10-11 at the campfire, right? And there, you know, she's, you know, I like her as a character, I guess. So anyway, while Clark is in his hospital room, Lana comes to talk to him, doesn't she, Lance?
Okay, yeah, she does.
She has some interesting things to say, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She says, from the first moment I saw your face, I loved you. Something like that. Like, it's like I was annoyed listening to it. We both were. But it's just like, you, young lady, are not telling the truth.
Well, it's like last episode where she's like, we've been taking it slow for 4 years. Whoa, no.
No, you have not.
You're dating other people for like 70% of that time.
Yeah.
So
when you first started talking to Clark, you were dating Whitney.
Well, it's like, for some reason, fiction, it's like, unless you were like soulmates from the first moment, your romance doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? So they're trying to make it like this epic thing, right? And, you know, of course, he's loved her from the first moment he saw her. That's fine, right? Yeah. Whatever, right? But then it doesn't need to be, you know, the same way, because that just wasn't the case.
Correct.
It was not the case. So her pouring her heart out here. He should open his eyes and say, oh, Chloe, that would have been great.
That would have been that would have been amazing.
But, you know, he does kind of open his eyes and look at her.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like, conks out and then dies.
I'm actually surprised he didn't say Lana.
Yeah. You know? I was waiting for, like, Lana?
Lana?
But, yeah, he died. Like, they tried to do the defibrillator and the, you know, the breath mask, all that stuff on him. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Straight up dies. I'm like, time of death, you know, 7:18 a.m. or something, right?
Yeah.
And then it's this intercut, like, them trying to resuscitate him is intercut with Lytle.
Who's awakening.
The awakening. And like he sits, he jolts up from, you know, his catatonic state, slowly stands up.
Well, also you see it like his eyes, like they
come back to normal.
Yeah, they come back to
normal. Which is odd because he's still, he goes from being just kind of like in a Kryptonian standby mode to truly being possessed by Jor-El at this point. And I remember when we first watched this, we're like, oh, he's going to do it. He punches through the glass.
John Glover is so great. I love this.
He steps out and we're like, oh, he's going to do it. And then he speeds up. I'm like, what?
We're like, oh!
Just to see Lytle do the super speed.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on with this show? So then we come back to the hospital. Lana staggers out because she saw this go down. She saw that Clark's dead.
And I don't know why like they didn't have hospital orderlies like not have her watch that.
But she was in the hallway. Like, they could have closed
the door.
Trust me. Healthcare is way more specific.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, they don't want to have someone watch someone die on the operating table, right? That's a bad look for the hospital. But, I mean, really, that's how many people have died in that hospital? How many people has, like, Lex or some other person come in and killed in their hospital bed, right? Alexander, excuse me. Right? But, you know, Dr. Harden.
Alexander.
But Dr. Harden comes out to tell the Kents, like, oh, we're sorry. We did all we could. We lost him. The Kents are all, you know, very upset and emotional at this point.
And then a nurse comes out and is just like, there's a problem with the Kent boy.
Meanwhile, during all this is going on, we get to Chloe, and she's in the bunker now with Gabriel. And he's, like, explaining.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, my dad always told me, you know, these meteors, they turn people into freaks, and nobody wants to live like that. And she's like, oh, my God, that was your father's collection of clips. So that's one kind of subversion of expectation, if you will.
Yes.
And the second
is that during the second metered shower, Gabriel's dad turned to a freak and asked Gabriel to kill him.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, nobody wants to live like that. So it's some insight into why he's doing what he's doing. He's clearly crazy,
a little
though.
Bit.
And it's not, I mean, there's no sympathy involved with this guy, so that's a positive.
Correct.
She tries to stop him.
She tries, but it's too late.
It's too late. And I don't know, what was she going to do? Like hit him over the head with something? She gets out of her restraints.
Yeah, and she gets out of her restraints.
And they start struggling, you know, with the gun and all that, because he's had a gun, obviously, this whole time. And they're struggling. They get up against the glass of the nuclear missile, and then they're struggling with the gun, and she shoots him. And he dies.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, that's kind of what like happened to the guy.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this character and what happened to the dude is it's tough. But anyway, we gave you the backstory. Judge what you will of this episode with him in it. But it adds an extra layer of uncomfortableness.
Absolutely.
So, but be that as it may, Chloe can't stop him. You know, she tries to, you know, do what she can, but it's too late.
Yes.
And the missile takes off. And I said this when we were watching it, but I do like how they kind of have kept Chloe's computer hacking skills in check so far.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see when that kind of goes too far, because I know eventually she can, you know, becomes Brainiac herself.
Basically, yeah.
Not when she actually becomes Brainiac herself.
Yeah, I know, right?
That, when she becomes a computer whiz.
Yeah.
The perfect person to be, you know, inhabited by Brainiac, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, last week she couldn't just, like, take over Luther Corp computers, the plant.
Yeah.
This week she can't just hack into the, you know, the silo deployment system and all that. So I appreciated that. And there's a BS explanation from Gabriel about how he knew how to do this. Like, I don't think I watched my dad for 10 years do this, pick up a few things. And
how the technology was old. So
right.
You could kind of get away with it.
Firewalls are bad or whatever. Yeah. He said, but
he said, I think he said all you have to be is a low level genius.
Yeah.
It's like, what is he?
Of course he thinks of himself as a low level genius. Since everyone has graduated from high school, this does not count as a Smallville high school student death. I don't think.
I agree.
So I guess that category is permanently,
Smallville alumni deaths.
Hmm.
Think about it.
How many of those are there?
I don't know.
And then we'd have two this episode, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Because we do have a main character death for Clark.
We sure do.
Because he was pronounced dead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget it. But we also have another tally board for Clark. Because they do this transition of Chloe watching stock footage of the shuttle taking off on the screen, right? And it zooms into the exhaust, right? And then we go from that to Clark at the fortress, like a fade.
Yeah.
And plus one for blue shirt, red jacket,
because
he's back in his favorite outfit. So not only has Jor-El picked up Clark, his favorite outfit, he's also picked up Lionel, his favorite outfit.
Yes.
Because we have Lionel Luther possessed by Jor-El. So it's plus one for possession count. Also, we are back, baby. We only had there was only one tally bar next the last time. And now we have so many. But in Smallville, the official companion season 5 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold. John Glover talks about him playing Jor-El, so to speak, in this episode.
Okay.
And he studied Marlon Brando's performance in Superman the movie and kind of took on his mannerisms and his manner of speech. And he says, quote, "I just went to the best. It wasn't like I was imitating. I just wanted to give a feeling of his essence." Which is true. I mean, I really picked up on, like, just the way he was carrying himself. Like, even when he grabs his lapels, he's like, I would hope that the time is coming when you will call me father, right?
Yeah.
It's just so much like what Marlon Brando was holding his lapels, talking to the Council of Krypton and things
true.
Like that. So
he also kind of goes in and out of accent, too, a couple
it
of
is
times.
It's like he pulls a Michael Fassbender Magneto. You know?
He does.
Because you really hear, because I thought, you know, when we first saw it, I was like, do they mix like Terrence Stamp and John Glover? But no, he just has an accent here. But just amusing to me that time is so of the essence.
Yeah.
But we get these costume changes. Like, if anything, you should have put him in some kind of like Kryptonian rebirth suit, right?
Yeah.
It's too soon for that, though.
Yeah.
What did you think of Jor-El inhabiting Lionel in this episode, and I guess what it sets up for the future?
I thought it was cool. Kind of subverted your expectations because you didn't really think. Because I remember initially watching it, did not think that we were going to hear from Jor-El in this regard. And also so soon after, like the times that we hear from Jor-El are kind of like spread apart.
Well, yeah, it's usually be season finale, season premieres.
Yeah.
And then maybe one random thing.
Correct.
And this turned out to be the one random thing. But in a season where you have the fortress,
you
assume you'd be speaking to Jor-El more.
Yeah.
Because frankly, anytime they go to the fortress and they don't talk to Jor-El, it's like, why isn't he talking to Jor-El?
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, did they not have the money for Terrence Stamp this week?
I guess so.
You know, that's what you think, right? But I do like, you know, Clark's reaction to this at first.
Yeah.
He's like, Kal-El, He's like, how do you know to call me that? Uh-huh. He's like, because you're my son. The time is coming where I would hope you would call me father. And so they have a good back and forth here, you know, and this explanation of everything. And Jor-El Lionel explains that the
life has a balance.
Life has a balance. And a life will be exchanged for yours, someone you love. And he's like, well, just leave me dead. He's like, it's too late for that.
Yeah.
It's like, and he tries to plead with him.
He tries.
He's like, give me another chance. He's like, no. You don't get one because you chose to defy me, right? Yeah. Because he's supposed to...
Consequences.
Jor-El was very reasonable, I think, in the first episode. He was like, yes. Dude, you got to do this. And Clark's like, no, I got to go save my friends. He's like, all right, fine. But you got to come back before the sun goes down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the consequences that we thought we might see in Superman the movie. You know, talking about these... like, we're in the fortress. We're getting Marlon Brando as Jor-El talking here. You know, because, I mean, you know, reverses time, interferes with human history.
Mm-hmm.
There's no consequence, right? Doesn't break open the Phantasm, doesn't lose his powers, right? Lois gets resurrected for no consequence, right?
Correct.
I like how, I mean, that's how it should work, like life, balance, day. It's the whole concept of the Final Destination movies, right?
Yes.
It's like you can't be messing with fate. So they establish that here.
Yep, and they do. And then, like, I also love his quote. And he's like, lessons we learn from pain make us the strongest. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that he's saying that, like, as... it's like Jor-El saying it, right?
Yeah.
But he's saying it as
Lionel.
And it's a very Lionel to Lex thing to say.
Well,
there,
see, that's the thing. Like Jor-El and Lionel are similar.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the whole thing about Smallville. It's like Jor-El, Lionel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like the kind of Jor-El with more edge to him. You know, before they kind of like homogenized this with the movies and everything else, right? He does say, he's like, always know that I love you, my son.
Yeah.
Like, it's just interesting. Like,
yeah, it is.
Jor-El to say that to him, and then, you know. And then his explanation is like, when this body was activated by the crystal, it became a vessel, an oracle for me to inhabit. Like, okay, is he reading the episode titles?
He might be.
Because I remember when they had, like, you know, the last two episodes, like, oracle vessel. Oh, my God. It's a Lionel Jor-El said at the beginning of the season. So it's just very intriguing because, like, they've done... I understand why they did this in Lionel, because like they've done pretty much all they could with him. Like they turned him good, and then halfway through they even admitted, like, well, we didn't really know what we were doing, so we turned him bad again.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't know how much knowledge he really has of it, because he always plays it close to the vest.
Yes.
So does he remember? I say no. I mean, later on we get to that scene with him and Lex. I count this as an amnesia count, because he doesn't remember any
correct
of this. But it's fascinating. And also, it's very reminiscent of Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut, which had not come out at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gives him his powers back, he hugs him, and like there's that energy, you know, that transfers, and like it's very much like Superman 2. So this establishes, you know, what the rest of the first half of the season is about, which is the fact that Clark has been resurrected, and someone he loves will lose their life
correct
for his resurrection. It doesn't work that way in season 10, though, does it? He just kind of comes back to life, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah. Hashtag continuity. But then we get the greatest moment in Smallville history, which is, and he see Clark, he super speeds to Smallville.
Correct.
He sees the missile, and then he does a super jump, which, like, is he going to fly?
Yeah.
Why did we think he was going to? We should have known by now.
We should have known.
But we're like,
known.
Is this the last season? I don't know. Maybe we'll have him fly. You know, because he's like, well, okay, well, I really, really tried that time, like in the tornado, right?
Yeah.
Because, like extreme circumstances, you see a nuclear missile going off, you might be inspired to fly.
Correct.
Right? But it's a super, but... it's a super jump, but there is some more to it than that.
Correct. Yeah, he has to propel himself up there to catch up with that.
To quote Wicked, he is defying gravity at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is just so badass. I just love it. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole sequence. And I think one of the things that Smallville does really, really well throughout its run is show the scope of how powerful Clark is by putting him up with certain obstacles that you, like, you have to be a Superman to do this. Like, to jump up, catch a thrusting up into the air nuclear missile, climb up it, reach for the warhead, throw it into space. It's like, it's just, first of all, he looks cool doing it. It's a really cool moment. But it's just like, my God, this guy is like so powerful. It's crazy. I love this scene.
Well, I mean, there have been things like the second meteor shower, right?
Yeah.
But this is probably the most large scale super feat he has done at this point in the show. It's amazing because, I mean, the leap up into the air and the grabbing on the missile. He disposes of the missile much differently than Christopher Reeve's Superman, which is like, I'm just going to throw it into the sun or throw it into space, right? Because I was impressed that Clark even knew, like, I'm going to go get the warhead.
Yeah,
like,
I know, right?
This guy knows where a nuclear warhead is. Are you kidding me? Because he climbs up there, he gets the warhead out, he throws it out, you know. And then I remember at the time, and then even for most of the season, we're like, oh, we just saw these guys go into the Phantom Zone a couple episodes ago. This is going to explode. They're going to come out. They're going to get shot. Like, that, I mean, it's like they couldn't have planned it any better, but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's just odd, right? Because this first half of the season is Superman 2, right?
Yes, so essentially.
Remixed, right? So it's just interesting that they just completely didn't think about that at all. But as we do find out, the classic Superman the movie Phantom Zone look is only the entryway to the Phantom Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down that slide into the Supergirl the movie version of the Phantom Zone. So anyway, they were still figuring this stuff out. You know, but then he crashes back down to Earth. You know, an epic moment. An epic moment and just one of the most inspiring moments in Smallville history. And something that, you know, that's frankly, it's even more impressive than what happened in the finale. I think we might, in the Patreon, I think we might even talk about this. Like,
yeah.
Him pushing Apocalypse
was
like, oh, okay. Whatever. Like, yeah. It wasn't even that, you know, that impressive because it's a small CGI Superman pushing a giant CGI planet away.
Yes.
Does he really save Air Force One? He just kind of, like, stabilizes it a little bit and flies off, you know? So
that's a save.
Anyway, I wanted to save like this in the series finale.
Correct.
It could have been cleaner too, with he flies up and you know that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, we say the greatest Smallville moment, a truly great moment.
Yes.
In Smallville history, there's many of them, but like at the time, like oh my god, like losing it because it was so amazing.
Yeah, it was. So. And then after that, we are back to the Kent farm, and Jonathan's on the phone. He's like, "The hospital lost our son," which is crazy because like so you know when they were just like, there's a problem with the Kent boy, they come back and it's like, he's gone. So that nurse that came out was like, there's a problem with the Kent boy. Did she see him leave? Did she see Lionel come take him?
Well, like, it was all at super speed, I assume.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's like Superman Returns.
Okay.
Where they go into the room and, you know, the tomb is empty.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the stone was rolled away.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's Easter morning. And yeah. It's a Sunday, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Remember they said it was a Sunday morning.
Right.
This is Easter Sunday. That's my, no, let's see. It wouldn't work because it's Easter's in April or March sometimes. Very confusing when Easter
and
is.
Several weeks
have passed. So this is like,
because school hasn't started yet.
Yeah, it's like August.
Yeah, late August.
Because as you discover when you go to college, amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you discover when you go to college, you have like 3 months off. And then you get another month off, like for Christmas. As people who were like in marching band in high school where you got like maybe 2 months of summer.
Yeah.
And then just like, you know, 2 weeks off for Christmas. Like having 3 solid months off and then like another month. Like that is a third of the year.
That's correct.
College is the stupidest way to prepare you for the real world. Because when you're in grade school, they didn't expect to have this tangent, but you know they're going off to college, just have it. Right? Now's the time to talk about this on the show. Right? So when you go to grade school, you have to be somewhere from 8-ish to 3-ish.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday. There's a schedule.
Correct.
You have to abide. You don't get to set your schedule. You know, you can pick some electives, but they tell you what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be. You know, if you have electives like band, you're there until 5. So we're there like 8 to 5, 3 days a week, you know.
Yeah.
Then you have a football game on a Friday. So, you know, that's another. So it is the junior equivalent of a full-time job.
Yeah.
You go to college, that destroys any muscle memory, any endurance. You know, it's like if you're working out, and then you don't work out for like 4 years. And then it's like, all right, now you've got to go run a triathlon. That is what college is like. Because I remember my mom told me, she's like, I took first 2 periods off, much like Lana did her sophomore year, according to Redux.
It's true.
My senior year of high school, I took the first 2 periods off. Mom was like, don't get used to that. You can't be getting up and going to school at 10 o'clock in college. Well, guess what? That's exactly what I did.
Well, because it's funny.
I watched this episode on Thursday night, and I got up at 9:30 the next morning and went to class.
That is very true, because unlike Zach, I would still watch these episodes with it, but I had to be up because I had 8 o'clock classes.
Well, that was your choice to be in marching band and be a music major.
That is true. But
I missed the part where that's my problem. But you guys know what I'm saying,
Peter.
Right? You guys know what I'm saying. It's like, it is a terrible thing to give an 18-year-old control over his own schedule.
Yeah, because then you'll be like,
we had one friend with
the high school with.
All right, so he went to school from like 8 to 5 Tuesday and Thursday. He's like,
correct. I got a 4-day weekend and a day off in between.
I'm like, get out of here. So anyway, I'm just saying, like, there's something weird about how you condition people for 12 years and then just tell them to do whatever the hell they want for 4 years, within reason, and then it's, okay, back to the 8 to 5, like, whoa, what happened here, right? Like, anyway, you guys follow me, right?
I think they get the point.
Anyway, point taken.
Yes.
So back to Smallville.
But anyway, so...
So Clark shows up at the door, and I love Jonathan. He's like, oh, I'm going to call you back.
Uh-huh.
He hangs up the phone. Clark comes in. He looks beat to hell.
Yeah.
Because he just survived a nuclear explosion in space and re-entry into the atmosphere.
Correct.
Luckily, nobody saw him.
I know, right? Like, no satellites picked up that.
There was no meteor shower to cover this.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, they all hug, and he explains that, you know, Jor-El, you know, gave him his powers back. And
he also lies and say that Jor-El didn't ask for anything
in return. Again, much like in Arrival, you know, Jonathan was like, so, like, there's no conditions to this? Or, you know, he's like, you know, they linger on Jonathan because he knows what's, he's dealt with Jor-El more than anybody, you know.
Well, they're parents. They know when their kid's lying.
Right. Yeah, well, but you understand, like, if I was Clark, I would have lied too. I'm like, no, everything's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like, when are y'all going to die? When are y'all going to die? Because I had to save Lana. And guess what? Guess what? I'm going to have to save Lana again. And when are you really going to die?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it was appropriate. You know, you think about this, right? It's appropriate that Lana is the one that dies. Because in Arrival,
mm-hmm.
he gave up his powers. He could have super sped back to the Arctic, right?
Or
gone to the portal in the cave. To quote Lionel, like, how'd you bring me here? Oh, the portal in the cave. The portal in the cave? Do you have the key? But no. Show, man. I love it. But it frustrates me sometimes. So, what was I saying about the...
Lana, it was appropriate for her to die.
So it was appropriate for Lana to be the one who dies in Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers. Because she's the one that kept him from getting back to the fortress and fulfilling his promise.
Yeah.
And therefore he lost his powers on Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when he died here, a life had to be exchanged. And that's, you know, the wheel of fate, right?
Yeah,
so,
and that's the one he loves.
Right, the most, but for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The one you love the most.
What is that from?
Arrow.
Oh, right. God's sake. Season 2, an excellent season. Finale has issues.
It does have issues.
Anyway, it's the beginning of the end of Arrow right there. Season 5 was great.
It is great.
Most of season 7. So, he comes back from the dead, and, you know, they're just happy to have him back. He's like, well, I'm not human anymore, and, you know. So, you know, he feels bad about it, but, I mean, he has lots of mixed emotions because he has a burden now that he can't share with his parents or anyone.
Correct.
Other than Chloe. We'll get to that at the end. But then who comes in but Lana, right? So she comes in, and they have this, like, you know, run to each other moment. Collide by Dishwalla plays, which is the song we'll play out to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, picks her up and like, na, 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 that kind of moment, right? But if I was Lana, I had some serious questions about this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, first of all, I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah.
But what the hell?
Uh-huh.
Because he's wearing, as we find out later, he's wearing a bandage where he got shot. So what's correct. What is his explanation?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. So, like, this is a misstep by Clark because he should have just played up the whole resurrection thing and just be like, I was healed. And just be like, it was a miracle.
Remember that time that my mom almost died? Or there's ways you could explain it.
But instead, he's like that. Like, that's a serious, like, yeah, that's a
Coach Sheriff Adams from last week, just another day in Smallville.
Yeah, exactly. He could have easily played up that angle, but instead he made life way worse for himself.
I don't know if it's smart or not to not even mention it. Because what is he going to tell her?
I don't know.
So better just to, like, yeah, we'll cut around that, right? And we kind of adjust it with Lex and her later.
A little bit.
Right? So they embrace, and, you know, who doesn't love Dishwalla? And we get Lex, and as he's prone to do, sitting in front of his fire, doing some...
Whatever he's doing.
Taxes or whatever.
And, taxes.
sure he has people for that. So Lana comes in, and she has Clark's medical file for Lex.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, here, I heard you asking the doctors about it, which is, I think it's ADR to kind of... brush over the fact that they had that scene where they deleted it when he was asking about it. And I love, favorite line of the episode, Lex points and says, that's confidential. this guy who's been paying off people to get, like, Martha's records and Clark's records.
It's hilarious.
And stuff. He's Lex, it's so nice that he's, like, more, like, just selfish Lex now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, he is way more... conniving and lying, and he's such a great job at it.
It's
fun to see him because, you know what? That's a true statement, but it's absurd coming from him.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I love this scene between the two of them. I think it's a very strong scene for Lana and Kristen Kirk. And it's great to see her and Lex get these kind of scenes now. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I love because, like, you know, Lex is like, you know, like, I don't really believe in miracles, but, like, you know, I was almost starting to today. Lana's trying to, you know, comes in there. She's like, when are you going to finally stop and realize that Clark is just a normal guy? You know, because the records indicate that he's normal, right? Lex is shrewd, and he's like, you know, whatever lie he told you, whatever he swept it under the rug, he's like, a normal person doesn't come back from the dead.
Right. I mean, it's so true. Yeah. Like, normal people don't rise from the dead.
Yeah.
She just leaves at that point. Because he really does have... And I like how, like Clark said last week, of course, things are back to the status quo because he does have power. He's like, things are different now. I'm done playing games. Like, yeah. Lex is done playing games, too. He's like, look, I don't know what lie he told you. Or, you know, it's so true, though. I mean, yeah. And he's like... I love what he says, too. He's like, don't act like you haven't had your doubts yourself.
Yeah.
Right? As he says later in the season, like, how many times have you come to me about Clark, about how he's lying to you, right? Yep. I mean, hey, Lex has a point.
He does.
As all the great villains do, you know, have some kind of, like, truth to them.
There is.
So, a great, great scene between them. She storms out at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know...
But then he looks up again.
And Lionel's there. This is a classic Smallville maneuver of, like, all right, we need two scenes, and we need one characters in both of them. Let's just have these two different characters just come in and out. It's like, okay, exit screen left Lana, enter screen right Lionel, right? Uh-huh. And he just comes out, and he has his arms all extended. He's like...
No, he's like, aren't you going to give your old man a hug? Yeah. I love it.
Like he is back in true form. He's like... Do they not have surveillance cameras at Bellerive? What happened to 24/7 surveillance on Lionel?
I don't know.
I would have said, hey, he smashed through his glass and super sped out of here.
Yeah, he's like, you escaped from Bellerive. He's like, I don't remember anything. He's like, last thing I remember was arguing with you in here. And then Lex like pulls back the rug and he's like, I found you carving this.
With a corkscrew.
A corkscrew. And Lionel's just like, how creative. Yeah,
so you don't know, like this... Lionel, like, you don't know what he knows, right? I'm going to count this as an amnesia count. I truly think at least his conscious mind doesn't remember any of this, right? Yeah. But it's so interesting because Lionel has become super intriguing again because you don't know what he knows or doesn't know.
Uh-huh.
Much like in, like, season three. It's like, oh, we all know Clark is a very special boy and that kind of stuff, right? He's like, Kal-El? Krypton? No, I don't know what you're talking about, because that's what Lex was saying. You don't have no memory of the last few weeks saying these words. And he just goes back to pouring himself a drink and... You know, Lex is kind of frustrated, and Lionel's like, so I wish I could help you more. He's like, oh, I got my father back. What do I have to complain about?
Yeah.
I'm like, He knows there's something more going on there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I like the fact that Lex just kept this carved in the floor, put a rug on top of it. Because, you know, after Arrival, I was like, who finds this? Like, what happens here with this, right? And no one's asking about Stones of Power.
No.
And, like, nobody... Lex had one, Lionel had one. They're both gone now.
Yeah.
But we just moved past that. So that's in the past, to quote last week. We're not going to worry about that.
Let the past die.
So finally, we have our last scene in the loft with Clark and Chloe.
Yeah.
And this is a great scene.
It is.
Between them. Because Clark is, like, you can tell he's in a funk about this.
Yeah, for sure. But I liked the two of them as partners. She even says, like, I'm a big girl now. But she kind of laments and says, like, I like being the only one that knew about you, referring to like his secret and those aspects of it. And she hits him with the real real hard questions. In particular, you're kidding yourself if you think that you could still be with Lana and not tell her your secret. And she's right on the money, because that relationship, this is the beginning and the end of it.
Yeah, and Brian Peterson, who wrote this episode, and the companion, he said, quote, there's a temptation to tell Lana because you always empathize with her, since let's face it, she's being lied to. She's the one on the show who's almost always being lied to. So I don't think there was any plan, because we knew that it was way too early for her to know. So that is speaking about possibly telling Lana the truth. So that really wasn't on the radar at all for them at this point.
Yeah.
It's weird because Chloe tells Clark this because she assumes Clark's going to tell Lana a secret now.
Correct.
But Kelly Saunders, who co-wrote the episode with Brian Peterson, said, quote, it's always easier to write a scene when there's trouble. But after 4 years, it was wonderful. It was very freeing just to have them as real teenagers who actually talk to each other. So that's the dilemma here.
Yeah.
Because, conflict, fiction, I get it. But it was so refreshing to see them, like, happy. And this is season 5. But see, here's the deal. Chloe just found out.
Yes.
So they're not going to just immediately tell Lana as well. Like, so, I don't know. But it is a great scene, because there's a lot more weighing on it than just that. You know, and I like how, like you said earlier, he's like, you know, we've never really talked about Lana to Chloe. He's like, I'm a big girl now, Clark. And also the whole fact about how somebody's going to die because he was resurrected. Obviously they didn't go through the whole thing again, but you can extrapolate that after the episode ends, he plays it out for her.
Yeah.
He's like, Chloe, I've made a terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's the consequence of him giving up his power. So I like that this is going to be a thing now in the season. You know, it creates a narrative through line, which is so much better than witches and stones.
I heard about Clark's resurrection. You know, I've never really believed in miracles, but I've certainly done my share of asking for them today.
Me too. But I think that we have different reasons. It's Clark's medical file.
That's confidential.
I heard you asked for it at the hospital. All of his test results came back normal. When are you gonna realize, Lex, that he is just like the rest of us?
Do you really believe that? Or is that what you have to tell yourself to stay in a relationship with him? You've had your doubts about him too, you can't deny it.
I was wrong. Believe me, there's nothing unusual about Clark. Except his ability to see the good in people who don't deserve it.
I think you're forgetting something, Lana. Whatever new lie he told you, however he swept it under the rug, a normal person doesn't rise from the dead.
Hidden got an 8.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 2.5 out of 5. So, I don't know what he was watching, but
yeah.
Lance, I ask you on the letter grade scale, what would you give Hidden?
I'm going to give it an A minus. Has one of my favorite scenes. Another strong season 5 episode, but it kind of loses a little bit of points for me with the Lana stuff in the middle, and just I think now a return to what it seems like is like the status quo of Smallville, where Clark's going to go back to lying to her and all this other stuff. But really strong episode overall, though, for me.
Yeah, as he says, back to lies and secrets. Yeah. I'm going to give it an A.
Okay.
Solid A, because I feel like this, it was a well-constructed, tight story about this. Like, you know, it was, you know, had, you had to accept some absurdities, like, you know, nuclear missile silos in Smallville and things like that. And it's not this episode's problem that they don't tell Lana how he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it maybe kind of is. I don't know.
It is a little bit. To my knowledge, we don't speak about this ever again.
No, I think we do. Later on in season 5, she's like, ever since you came back from the dead or something like that. The thing is, like, because the episode has such a strong scene at the end with her and Lex, mm-hmm. kind of about this topic,
okay,
but without her explanation, but she's still defending Clark, like, I like that, you know, so she's kind of moved past the secret and lies thing.
Sort of.
But, I mean, she obviously hasn't because we get there, but the point is, all right, I think there were very strong scenes between the characters, and then just one of the most awesome action scenes in the, or save scenes in the series here. So that really pushes it to an A. Chloe and Clark's teamwork here is great, continuing on from the last episode. And you're right. I mean, it marks the end of this cool experiment of Clark not having his powers.
Yeah.
But would you have liked him to not have his powers for even more episodes? Or
I think maybe one more, you know? Because I don't think they were in a position to where they could really, like, have the guts to have him without powers for too long. This is not like, you know, we've mentioned Arrow 7 times on this podcast, but, like, today. But, like, I don't think they could do a whole, like, thing where, like, the first half of a season they could have, like, you know, Oliver, like, in jail. You know, like, they couldn't have the equivalent of that on this show at this point in time. But I think maybe they could probably done, like, something like one more episode, maybe a half episode.
I mean, I was joking about how whenever Superman loses power, something awful immediately happens,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
But I like how obviously some time has passed. Like, this is probably 2 months, more than that. And you got to live life some, got to see the ups and downs, you know? That's the problem with, like, Superman.
He also got to
have sex. That's right. He was intimate with Lana. That's what Superman loses powers for. The Superman 2, right?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. World is at stake, all right? Well, we've all been there. So, but the point is, like, Superman 2, that is a criticism of it because, like, he loses powers. Immediately, they go back to civilization. He gets beat up by some guy in a diner, and he's like, all right, I can't deal with this. I got to go back to my powers. It's like, you know, it's like, dude, like, Spider-Man 2 does it so well because there's a montage, and you see him, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, live without his powers there for a while.
Yeah.
So that works for that. So anyway, that's solid on Smallville's part. And we saw some great Tom Welling moments there, you know, that playing the pain, the humor, you know, the frustration. Like, he's really strong. He's off to a great start this season because he's playing something, you know, not, you know, straight and narrow Superman.
Yeah.
So great. Anyway. But yeah, so A minus for you.
Mm-hmm.
A for me. Time for the tally board.
Okay.
We have a few this week. We have a plus one for amnesia count because Lionel cannot remember being Jor-El.
Okay.
So that brings us to 43. We have a plus one for blue shirt, red jacket because Clark is back in his favorite costume that Lionel, as Jor-El, was so kind to grab for him. So that's 27.
Excellent.
We have a plus one for hospital visit because Clark went to the hospital.
That's right.
And died. So that's 71. Speaking of Clark dying, plus one for main character death.
Okay.
So that's 5 so far in the show. Can you name them, by the way?
No. I'm not gonna try it at the moment.
You know, I asked you because I was questioning if I could name them as well. So we have Clark.
Okay.
Whitney.
Okay.
Jason.
Okay.
Martha in Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Did Clark die again? No, this is we got to figure this out. There are 5 main character deaths. All right, I mean seriously, there's not that many main characters. All right. Somebody let us know who the 5th main character was. Did someone? Okay. Who else died on this show? Who's a main character? This is what you guys tuned in for. This is kind of great conversation. Was it Talisman? Did Clark die? Remember when Jor-El brings him back to life?
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I think that's probably what you're thinking.
Let me know. Let us know. Sorry, guys. So much for this tally for. God's sake. So we have 5 main. That brings us to 5 main character deaths.
Yeah, okay. You should just cut this out.
No, we're leaving this in. People like that. People like to see that we're fallible. All right, we're like Clark without our powers.
We are like Clark without our powers.
So we're more relatable. I'm not. All right, despite what I try to project to y'all people, I'm not some great oracle of all small knowledge, okay? Punch me, I'm bleed. I'm not an empty chair anymore. So anyway, they have a possession count plus one. That is Lionel being possessed by Jor-El. So that brings us to 16.
Okay.
And then finally, this episode fails the Bechdel test. No two women are together having a conversation. Lance, where can people find you online? They can hear you not know Smallville facts.
Yeah, they can find me. You can at me at Sir Lance Laster on Twitter.
All righty. As for me, you can find me at Moron Zach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, where we talk about movies and remakes and sequels. And when franchises get fatigued, you can find us on Twitter at UFP Earth. I'm also host of Standard Orbit, a Trek FM original series podcast. We talk about all things Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Alone with Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to think long and hard about that 5th main character death before next week.
Yep.
And next week, Aquaman comes to town.
Woo!
I remember how absurd, like, that's the kind of hero that people be like, who are they going to have Aquaman next?
Yeah.
Landlocked state Aquaman is going to come in. That's stupid. They did it.
Yep.
Turned out pretty good.
Yep.
So... So we'll meet AC next week in Aqua. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. When we could lie.